So do we want to take a bet at how many people either lost their jobs after our last discussion on food delivery or how many people either something had to happen. Either more people used food delivery
or just like stopped altogether.
Everybody just stopped it. The whole industry stopped in the Connecticut area because of our conversation last week on food delivery.
I love that you and I share that kind of, it must be Catholic guilt because I had that same thought as soon as we were done recording last week. I thought, wait, we ran out of time because there's a huge element of this story, or I should say this episode where we talk about is convenience king that we really didn't get to talk about. So we set up this great storyline, if you will, and examples of why using third-party delivery services could be dangerous or could just be not as convenient as you think or not as important as we think they could be. But we sort of left out the biggest part of this, which is the vulnerability aspect, which is we just kind of ran out of time.
I almost felt so guilty almost all week. And I've never done
it before. I'm going to order delivery,
DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever it was. I almost kind of started passing it out to all the neighbors because
that's
we
so
did
true.
Kind of leave it out there. But
no, we did. But I will say, if you go back and you listen to episode from last week, again, convenience is king, or is it? We do end kind of hinting that it's the vulnerability aspect, Gary, that we really want people to understand at home. So we started talking about kind of DoorDash or Grubhub or Uber Eats drivers. But what if the real issue isn't the food delivery or the Amazon driver bringing a package to your home? What if it's the bigger question is like, what are we kind of leaving out there for total strangers when they do show up in our driveway? That's what we're talking about today, which is, like, are we best protecting ourselves? Are we aware of just how exposed we are to strangers?
Yeah, and you're right, because the specific topics are really important. The deliveries, Uber, taking an Uber or whatever, the car services that you're going to take. But really, if you were looking at it broadly, it is that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And that kind of covers the whole entire, it puts a blanket over everything. It's important to have the individual discussions. But yeah, I mean, there is that question of just how vulnerable are we and how vulnerable is our stuff.
Right. But that's what I mean. And I don't think we ever think that people are out to get us, which is a good thing. I mean, we shouldn't live in fear. I mean, Gary and I are huge proponents of don't live in fear. Make sure you are traveling, living your life. Like, we don't want that. In fact, that's the whole point of beating the badge, is so that you could feel more empowered and you feel like you're more in control of kind of an out of control world. That's sort of the point of this whole this whole podcast. But, you know, the thing with vulnerability is we do have kind of this sense that when you come into our driveway, that there's just like, I don't know, this idea of, you know, we're not exposing ourselves to total strangers, but we are. I mean, at the end of our episode last week, do you remember what one of our producers said, Nicole? She had mentioned, you know, have you noticed that when you have, you know, a driver deliver a package or things like that, sometimes they'll have somebody in the front seat of their car just going out with them to go do, which is fine. You should listen. If you have that ability to have your kid or your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend with you, like, that's great. But that's two strangers now in your driveway
exactly right.
Who's like taking
second,
inventory. You
second
know what
layer,
I mean?
Second layer of strangers.
That's what I'm that's saying. Right. Yes. But that's where we thought, oh, wait, we ran out of time, because that is really the bigger part of last week's episode is convenience king, is the vulnerability aspect of it. That's what we have to talk about, because when somebody pulls up in your driveway, I'll never forget this because it changed my house forever. I had said to Gary something to the effect of, you know, our backslider doors, for example, where our dogs go out, because Gary sometimes will help me out and will let my dogs out. We didn't have curtains over those doors because it was our backyard. I thought nothing of it. That was a hard no. You know, the idea of like, you should have curtains over anything that is ground level. And I thought to myself, who cares? It's my backyard. But you said you may not see who's looking in, but they can see everything in your home. And that to me just changed so much of just that idea of, oh, wait, I am exposed even to neighbors who I may not know or people walking by. And it's funny because we just give, you know, VIP access to total strangers with delivery services. And we don't realize that they could see more of us than we probably realize.
Especially when it comes to nighttime, you know, when.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big no-no when you are at night, you know, when it's lit inside and it's dark outside, it gives people that are in the dark the ability to see clearly inside your
seats.
House, unless you kind of put up window
treatments.
Covers or treatments or whatever, curtains, blinds or anything. In fact, we'll get into that a little bit of that concept of how do you determine whether you're vulnerable or not?
Right.
And a lot of times you have to act as if you are the criminal or the person that's going to commit the crime, and then you can learn how vulnerable you are.
So what, first of all, how do you even get into the mindset of if you're a target? Like, how would anybody even know if they're going to be a target of somebody? Doesn't have to be a delivery, because we'll get away from the delivery service, because I don't want them to feel like, oh my gosh, you got 2 weeks in a row, you're coming after us. But how do you even know if you're making yourself a target, Gary?
You know, it's funny, because I think that these discussions, the one of the reasons that we talk about the events that occur, like we kind of debrief these cases that occur. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Penn State and the iPhone incident, the tragedy. The reason we do that is because if people understand that if somebody wants their iPhone, someone else's iPhone, and you have an iPhone or a cell phone, then they're in all likelihood might want your cell phone at some point or another.
Right.
So the reason that we talk about these and you learn from other cases, if you don't learn from these cases, you're not really understanding what you may be vulnerable for. The reason that porch pirates is that term to use that people use when you get deliveries and they leave them on your porch, and then other people come along, the pirates come along and will take them from you if they're not secure or if you don't take them off the front porch. The reason we talk about that is to say that you might be vulnerable for that.
Right.
So any crimes that do occur, it's pretty safe to say that if it's occurred to someone else, there's a potential that it could occur for you. And that's really at the heart of crime prevention.
Right. But I don't think that we ever think we are targets. I mean, how many times do we talk about car break-ins and the importance of not leaving valuables in the front seat of your car, right? And so to some degree, we've gotten better about it, but I think with our homes, we're just not there yet. We're just not. I want you to dive into, so Gary teaches me these terms and it makes me think I'm a cop, but I'm not a cop. I'm really not. But like, what's the crime triangle?
Yeah.
You gotta talk about the crime triangle.
It's funny.
That's
one of the conversations.
Crazy. Wait till you hear about this.
Well, so in law enforcement, the way we look at crime and the way in which we can prevent crime is really from a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a triangle, you have those three points to a triangle. And if from a police perspective, we use those to determine how to prevent crime. So the first thing is you have to have somebody that wants to commit the crime.
Right.
Or a desire to commit the crime.
Right. Like they need something and that's what they're, that's their intention.
I'll use myself as an example. I don't want to commit a crime. So I don't have the desire to commit a crime. You know, or we
Are
can
you serious?
Use,
really?
Well, yeah. Or we could, let's use,
a, you told me,
let's
but okay.
use an example that doesn't involve crimes. And let's use the example of, I don't know, a cookie jar in a house.
Okay.
So I am a kid, or we can use Chase as an example.
Oh, yeah, sure. Throw my kid on the bus. Although he probably would do this, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
sure.
If you look at it, you have to, first of all, have something that somebody wants to steal. We'll jump to the next one first. So we'll look at the cookies. The cookies are something of value.
Sure.
That you, as a parent, or I, as a parent, want to protect.
Right.
Now,
not
insert,
till after dinner. Sure.
Right. Insert outside of cookie jar, look at it as your bank account, your car, your television set. That's
sure.
something that somebody wants and you have it.
Right.
So that's the item. So that's the item that is worth stealing.
Your house is the cookie jar. The cookies are the value inside the house.
That's
I got
right.
you. I'm with
now,
you.
Now, you need somebody that wants them and is willing to commit a crime to do it.
Chase wants a cookie and
I
what
want
is he going to do? Yes. What
that's
is he
right.
going to do
so
to
I,
get that?
I want a cookie. There is a cookie jar there. And then ultimately, mom is upstairs in the other room.
Right.
So,
or go pull the dog's tail, make sure the dog makes a fuss. Now mom's out of the room.
That's
now,
good.
So, listen.
That's a diversion.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My kid would definitely do that because mama's done that for sure. Yes. And I'm still getting told about it 30 years later. Thank you so much, mom.
But
yes.
Isn't it funny how you just brought something up that criminals are, and again, let's just say kids are creative.
Right.
Because Chase is not a criminal. But kids can
no,
be
no, God forbid, not yet. Jeez,
not ever. It's
I mean,
not
ever. Right? Yeah, right. That's why Gary's going to be on his speed dial because we're going
right.
to make sure Chase
ever.
Never gets into trouble.
But so people can be creative in the way in which they because the third part of the triangle is
opportunity. Right.
Thanks for the assist.
Hey, I got
right.
you. Listen,
do I have an opportunity to get it? Now, a cookie jar is not going to be secure. It's on the table. But is mom or dad or someone watching?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been told no. Do I have an opportunity to get a cookie? Maybe mom's upstairs watching Netflix or whatever. It's so funny because I think you just, did you just look at me because I'm saying you just watch Netflix? Maybe you're upstairs, you know, doing whatever you're doing, household stuff, whatever you got to do. It's not that you're just like sitting around watching.
No, it's
Netflix.
Fine. Just project that I'm just, you know, lazy and all that good stuff. No, it's fine.
That's
you're totally
why,
right.
That's why I pulled it back. But I.
No, honestly, to be fair though, that's probably true. Well, yeah, right. I probably am upstairs watching Ted Lasso because that is just, whew, that's my new obsession, but go on.
Or the hunting party that is, we're waiting to see if
it Did you finally
another.
Finish that season?
I did. And now we're waiting to see if it comes back again.
It has to come back.
I don't know.
They haven't finished it yet. There's still more criminals out there.
There are, yeah.
I digress. So yes, is the opportunity there?
Is the opportunity there? So now if mom's upstairs, I have the opportunity and all three of those pieces match. Mm-hmm. Take one of those away and the crime won't occur because it can't occur. So if you look at it from the cookie jar, if you take the cookies, if you secure the cookies in some way, you put them on a shelf that's higher than Chase can get to. Mm-hmm. There's no way for him to get to it. He doesn't have the opportunity to do it. A criminal in the same way, if you have your television set, your valuables in your house, and somebody wants to break into your house, and they have an opportunity to do it, they're going to do that. So
right.
How do you stop that? How do we take away one piece of that triangle?
Well, and I think the big thing there, though, is you are kind of at a deficit because you don't have really three of those points to take away. I mean, the desire part, there's nothing you can do about it. People are going to desire stuff and you have no control over that. So let's eliminate that. You really have two places where you can limit your chance of being targeted, essentially. So people discovering that you have the stuff that they value and people having the opportunity to take advantage of you. Those are really, I feel like, those two avenues that you can attack head on. And so, you know, like, let's take, for example, the value. There's a person, property, information, or opportunity worth taking advantage of. So let's go back. Again, this is not against delivery services. Let's just say it's somebody, you know, because I was thinking, you brought up porch pirates. Let's say it is somebody who is just kind of canvassing the neighborhood, for example. It that's just it. It may not be a delivery service. A lot of the times it may not be at all. It may be just somebody who is looking for that opportunity or looking for something of value. So when we talk about porch pirates, it's not the delivery service people who are committing those crimes. It's the people who either are tailing the delivery service trucks or it's people who have been in that neighborhood and they know the homes, they know the people, they know the valuables that are being delivered, and they look for an opportunity. So how do you first address the value? People not realizing what you have inside your home, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, saying that there's not, you can't tell what I have.
Right.
That's really, you know, we talk about that with putting shades up, with locking your doors. We'll talk about that in a second.
But even like alarm signs,
I
don't know.
That takes away opportunity because people are, you're discouraging somebody. They feel that they might get caught.
Well, there's probably an easier target somewhere
else. That's right. Or the valuables, another example of how you hide valuables is we tell you not to leave anything in the front seat of your car.
Right.
Especially at night because we know people are breaking into cars or, you know, we'll talk about locking doors under. It's funny how this whole crime triangle, it's great that we've never really talked deep into this, but you can start to take any crime and look at it from these three positions and see how steps you can take to lower your vulnerability.
Right.
And that's really, you know, after 9/11, after the attacks on September 11th, the federal government obviously spent a lot of money. And what they were trying to do is bring down vulnerability or lower risk.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which they did that was, how can we provide resources to certain areas
so like the airports with TSA
from happening in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's the way you can approach any crime or minimize your chances of becoming a crime victim, is to make sure that you keep it a mystery as to what values are. That's why porch pirate crimes are so prevalent.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the people, to your point, driving around the neighborhoods are looking, they have a desire to get stuff, and they drive around and they can see on your front porch, there's packages there. That's for the taking.
Right.
Now it's just a question of acting on it.
Well, and it's really funny, Gary, because I know it's certainly not Christmas time, but I honestly find that it's one of the most valuable movies that was ever made is Home Alone. Because Home Alone is exactly that. You have somebody who is canvassing a rich neighborhood and they look for opportunity. They looked for chaos. They got access inside the home, acting like they were a police officer. So they posed as somebody. They see that they found out information. When are you going to be on vacation? Who's going to be away? They got to canvass the inside of the home. Home Alone is actually a fantastic, I think, example of what you're talking about, which is that you made your valuables so out in the open, but you also gave them so many opportunities by giving too much information. And the reason I bring this up is because you may protect your home so well. Curtains, alarms, everything, cameras, what have you. You want to know the number one thing I honestly think makes people vulnerable no matter how protected your home or your car is?
Tell me.
I was sitting on my phone, social media. The amount of times people will post while they're on vacation, and I get it. I get that there's influencers, and this is absolutely nothing against influencers because part of our job on the radio is that we also have to engage on social media. But my husband and I were away for our 10-year wedding anniversary recently, and we didn't say anything. We just said we're unplugging to focus on each other, something like that. When I got back, I posted photos from France. The amount of people, Gary, who were like, why wouldn't you say something? Why wouldn't you show us photos? And I thought,
right.
I like you, but I don't know who has access to my account, and I don't want people going to my house. Well, no one's home. But you could have as secure a house as you want, but as soon as you tell people you're out of town, guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You've already opened up the door for opportunity, for people to understand what value you have. Even the fact that you say, hey, I'm on a Euro trip. Immediately people are like, oh, you must have some money. You must have something of value. It makes you vulnerable.
It does. That's why this is so important. You just brought it up.
Thank you.
So if
when Gary gets fired
really
up,
good.
Right?
Yeah, really
when Gary
good.
Gets fired up, it means I'm doing a good job.
No, but it's yay, true. Me. So think about it. How many people have come to your house over the last year, you know, people that have worked on things and fixed things mm-hmm. or solicited, maybe they're going to do landscaping or something and they come to your house and, you know, you say no thank you and they go on their way.
But they had access.
Driving through.
Right.
All they're waiting for is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you post on social media, because we know there are people that, you know, have the desire to commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are... And they take their time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's go back to the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
We know that at some point kids want cookies and they, you know, they want candy and they want things. So they know and they're studying. So every day they know where you put the candy, where you put the cookies. And they still have that desire to do it and they know they exist. They're just waiting for the opportunity.
Right.
Social media may be the one thing that allows someone to say, now's my chance.
Mm-hmm.
Now is my chance because I know there are a way.
Well, and that's what I mean.
Be the one thing. No,
right.
It all comes back to that. Those three.
That
those
criminal
three
triangle.
Skulls, the crime triangle. I keep bumping into this microphone, by the way.
You're really fired up today.
Yes.
I mean, but it's fair because I do think these are logical things, Gary, that as soon as you understand it and you think about it, you realize how much more control you have over kind of flying under the radar. That's the goal in life is, hey, live your life, but also fly under the radar of being a target to a potential criminal. That's how I like to live my life. I love to be under the radar.
I like to,
if possible.
I love to fly under the radar and then mm-hmm. pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, that's why you're a cop.
Right.
I am not. No, I try to be an investigative reporter, just stay under the radar. Yeah.
Right.
You could be the cop, though.
Sometimes
you're
it's
good
nice to go above the radar and just... Well, that's for another.
That's another
conversation.
That's why we're different.
But it really does come down to that. Now, when you start looking at the discussions we had last week about the food delivery services, we know that there are people that don't have background checks that are potentially committing crimes,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming to your. They have it. So let's walk through one of those scenarios.
Okay.
These fake delivery people, or they didn't pass a background check, and I'm sharing your license. Melissa has a driver's delivery service license, and I want to work it. When she's not working it, I get it. Now I'm signed up, and I can do it. But I have a desire to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to commit a crime. That's the first thing that you need. I have an opportunity to come to your house because
right.
I'm under the guise of a delivery service, a food delivery service. And then all I need to know whether there's something valuable there.
Is it worth my time?
Exactly.
Time.
Now, mm-hmm. we've seen that. Let's talk about, you know, some of the cases involving those people that have committed sexual assault. They want to commit a sexual assault. You go to the door. I'm here. I want to commit a crime. I have an opportunity to be here. And now there's something valuable that I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want. And that's those pieces of that three triangle. That's why we say, okay, how can we take away something from that? Mm-hmm. One way is that you don't answer the door.
Right.
Potentially. Because, or you know, you use the service, you have somebody else there, that takes away their opportunity mm-hmm. to get inside and take something valuable from you. Because to your point, and I think you brought it up before, what is of value to us is our stuff.
Mm-hmm. But even our people.
Yes.
Like I have to harp. I don't know. The social media thing drives me nuts. And maybe it's because I have a 7-year-old. But every year, Gary, that I see the first and the last day of school photos and it's kids who literally are posting their school and their teachers and their likes and everything. It's like that, too, is a vulnerability. Maybe not even in your home, but at your kid's school. And you have no idea that you just totally expose them.
Yeah, we did. We did some training a long time ago. And it, you know, when the internet first started becoming a problem. And we used to talk to parents about the problem of posting on the internet, mm-hmm. that people want to, there are some people that want to hurt our children. And the more you put on the internet, people can figure it out. They can figure it out easier now. But in the past, if I just said, if I put something on online that my daughter was playing in a lacrosse game, and here's a picture of her, then they can use that picture to find out, oh my gosh, it is the...
It's this team. It's this school. That's what she looks like. Yes.
That's right. And you never know, the more information you put out there, there are people out there that are just cultivating information, waiting for the opportunity.
Right. And, but if we can eliminate one of those points of the triangle, you just flew better under the radar, which is where you want to be. You want to be more like me.
Yeah.
I mean, be like Gary, but don't pop up.
Well, be like, stay under be the like radar. Us. Take the best of both of us.
How's I know, but that? Don't pop up. I don't understand that. Just stay under the radar.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. Find out the three pieces of the triangle for anything of value and take away one piece of that. And you may, in fact, reduce your vulnerability to be a victim.